recovery where we come together to get free. We come together to encourage and build each other up. We come together to learn how to overcome and win in life. You know, because we can't give up. We can't give up. God has plans for us, and they're good plans. And I want to talk about when we get ready to take up our offerings. In Genesis 37, it's a story about Joseph. And Joseph had, when he was young, he received a dream from God. He received a dream, and it was a good dream. It was a dream that he was going to be lifted up, and everyone around him was going to bow down to him. I don't know him. It doesn't go into detail. I don't know if he was puffed up about it, but he told everyone about his dream, and they were upset. His father said, "Oh, you really think I'm going to bow down to you?" But anyway, his brothers were jealous. They were very jealous and envious. He was the favorite, and so that caused a lot of bad feelings between the kids. And so they were filled with envy. You know, it was an open door for the enemy to come in and torment their minds with all this hate and this bitterness. You know, and I don't know the whole story. He doesn't go into detail about it. So they could have resisted that bitterness, but instead, you know, they were so full of hate, they wanted to kill him. You know, that's being overtaken by the enemy. But one of the brothers at least saved his life. He wanted to release him, but instead, they sold him as a slave. Can you imagine being sold as a slave when you were the favorite and now you're a slave to another land, a foreign land, far away? No hope. He could have given up, but he didn't. He didn't. He gave his best effort to his master. And you know why? And we can tell that because he was lifted up and trusted. He gave his best effort, even as a slave. Even when life wasn't fair, he gave his best effort. And God was able to lift him up. And then, after that, he went to prison for doing the right thing. Oh my goodness, that's just not right. He went to prison even though he was doing the right thing. And that wasn't God, that was the enemy. That was the enemy. But he still gave his best effort because he ended up being in charge of the prison. And so he had to get his healing, his inner healing in his mind and his broken heart, because it looked like my dream is gone forever. It's just going from bad to worse. But he got his healing from God. And he didn't give up on that dream. And he gave his best effort. Planting seed towards the kingdom. Planting seed that God's going to somehow turn this around. You know he didn't give up because he ended up being in charge of the jail. And not only that, but when the king's baker and the king's wine taster ended up in there, the jailer trusted Joseph to take care of them. You know, you don't do that with just anyone, with the king's baker and the king's wine taster, with just anybody. They trusted Joseph. And Joseph could have went on and on and on about how unfair life was when he was talking with them. But he never mentioned it. In fact, he ministered to them because they had bad dreams. And so he said, "Well, God, my God can help you with these dreams." So he told them. And it happened exactly like he said. The one guy was killed, the one was restored. And Joseph, the only thing Joseph said was, "When you go to before the king, remember me. Get me out of here." It wasn't fair. That's when he mentioned it. But the guy forgot him. The guy forgot all about him. But Joseph kept doing the right thing anyway. And he could have thought, "Well, what's the use?" Right? It would have been reasonable for him to say, "What's the use?" But thank goodness he didn't. Thank goodness he kept planting that seed and kept believing the covenant, kept believing the promise, kept believing the dream. And one day, he didn't know it. He was just a regular day for him in jail, another day. But the Pharaoh was having bad dreams. He couldn't get no one to help him. And someone, and that guy said, I have sinned. There was a guy in the prison. We were there. You know, when you were upset with us, you threw us in prison. And there was a guy there that interpreted our dream, and it went exactly like he said. And the king said, go get him. So they went and cleaned him up because he was dirty. You don't get good baths in prison. So they had to clean him up, and he was presented before the king. And he was respectful and honoring, and he took care of business and showed the king exactly what the dream was, and then even gave him wisdom to help him. You know, he had a good attitude, and he was right. And then the king said, well, you're the man. You're the man, because I can tell you got the wisdom of God in you. And so he was promoted. We can't give up and look at the circumstance we're in. We can't focus on that. We got to focus on the covenant. We have a covenant with God and keep planting seed towards it. And that includes our minds, our words, and our actions. And we got to keep trusting God. We can't give up. God's got plans for us. Okay? And part of that is our offering. Amen? So, Father God, we come before you with our lives, our minds, our words, and our offerings, Lord. And we wave it to you, Lord. Thankful, Lord, that, you know, we can get ourselves in a mess. Other people can get us in a mess. The world can be a big mess. But, Lord, you can lift us up high because your word said that you would. We have a covenant that said you put us over and not under. You put us in front and not in the back. And, Lord, you said that when we give, it'll be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men bring into our bosom. You said that when we bring an offering, we could believe for 30, 60, or 100-fold, as much as we can believe, because there's no limit with you. It's according to what we believe. So, Lord, we're believing for the billion-fold return, Lord, because there's a lot that needs to be done. And we're believing for the greatest awakening ever and the greatest healing of our nation to ever happen, Lord. We're believing it. And I'm believing for everyone in our community to be healed, set free, delivered, and prospering in every way, prospering in our minds and our bodies and our finances, and especially our relationship with you, Lord, that we would know who we are. And we just pray for it and agree with it, and I speak the blessing over every one of us here in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Amen. We're ready to hear from Pastor.
What?
From Pastor.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I thank the Lord for all the nice, cool weather. It feels like October and August. I'm thankful for that. Praise God. I do love this nice weather. Good to see all the smiling faces. Praise God. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Praise God. And we got the favor of God. I'll never quit saying I got the favor of God. You know, people may look at me and say, why do you keep saying that? You know, I'm gonna keep saying it, and it's going to happen in my life, praise God. I'm going to keep saying it, praise God. What's the Bible say? Man may be a liar, but God's not a liar. So I'm going to keep saying it. God said we had favor. We had favor. And I've seen favor in my life, praise God. It had to happen, praise God. That's good news. We're talking tonight about more than a conqueror. All three of y'all, including myself, makes four, I guess, are more than conquerors, praise God. We're more than conquerors. We've had to go. We've been through things, and God's not putting us through nothing. It's either my bad choices, or the devil's attacks or traps or deception that gets us. It's never God. God's not trying to teach us something. It's either the devil's trapping us somewhere or another, or my bad choices. Like at one time, I went to the jail. It went in jail. That was some of that stuff was the devil trapping, and some of that was my bad choices. And everything. I should have never went out that room and everything. There was a little bit of both. You know, I can't blame God for that. You know, at the time, you better believe the thoughts went through my mind. Satan was trying to put them in there that, why didn't God warn me this, you know, earlier that night? Well, really, I wasn't spending a whole lot of time with God that night. I was spending it with her and having fun with you, and I was enjoying myself, excited about going hunting, swimming, and watching TV, and But I was busy doing all kinds of other things, praise God. And there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But the worst thing to do is blame God in a situation where you're going through something happens to you. But we're more than conquerors through whatever comes towards us. The Vine's Dictionary says it this way, conquer is to overcome, to gain a surpassing victory. To overcome and gain a surpassing victory, praise God. I like that. And someone watch the clock for me. Don't let me go past about 7:15, or just tell me when it's 7:15 and I'll wind it down, okay, please? Laura's got my watch trying to fix the band on it. And here's an example of an overcomer. Here it is. And I'll use that great man. I love him because he's a good man. Alexander Holyfield, because he loves his family and everything, so I'll use him. He's not one of them running around doing all kinds of stuff, a bunch of women and everything. I like him. And he's a boxer. And he's won lots of belts. He's been world champion in different times. And here he is. He's been training hard, working out, getting himself strong, running every day. Them boxers have to run, what, I don't know, 10 miles a day, 20 miles a day, 10 in the morning, 10 at night. Running, for some reason, in boxing is a very important thing. It's endurance to make it 12 rounds. And here he is. He's ready. He's ready to take on, let's say, Mike Tyson. Let's say Mike Tyson's not going to bite his ear, and they're going to go 12 rounds instead of having to call it short. It's going to go 12 rounds instead of 2 or 3 rounds when Mike Tyson biting his ear. So here he is. He's taking some hits. My goodness, I'm telling you what, he's taking some hits, old Vander is. Well, Mike's pretty tough, pretty strong, but he makes it to the 12th. And unanimously, he wins, praise God. Hallelujah. And then they come out there and hand Vander about a $20 million prize check. Oh, praise God. He's so happy. He goes home, and Mrs. Holyfield, thank you, Evander, takes it from him. She is more than a conqueror. He was a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. She didn't have to do nothing for that. He got himself up. He was trained. He was ready. He fought the fight and won, and she got the money, praise God. Isn't that good news, praise God? She's more than a conqueror, hallelujah. And that's kind of like, and I was thinking about this in the corner over in the house in the living room. I was looking at this. And God popped this in my mind. That's kind of a picture. Evander was like Jesus. He took the hits, took all the punishment and everything else. But Mrs. Evander didn't have to go through that. She got blessed and got taken care of, just like our salvation, just like our blessed prosperity, just like a healing. And she got all those good things. And well, he went and took all the punishment for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I thought that was pretty cool. God shared that with me. I said, that's a good picture of it. Jesus taking all the punishment where we didn't have to. Hallelujah. He could do what we couldn't do. I mean, Adam could do it, and I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, I couldn't, without Jesus, it's impossible to stay free from the sin and everything like that, praise God. Let's look over at 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God? All right, you're born of God. You overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Yours, my faith overcomes the world. No matter what's coming at us, we're going to overcome it if we'll stay in the Word of God. I mean, it was looking dark for me. I mean, really dark that day in that cell. And it's kind of like Monica talked about Joseph in the jail cell. It's funny you brought that up. That's what happened to me. I there was a guy in there crying because he took his girlfriend's keys. They were got drunk, him and her, partying that night. And he took her keys, and the police come arrest him, throw him in jail because she called and said he was harassing her and everything else. And they were buddy-buddy, and he ain't there. And I had to pray for him because he's bawling like a baby. And here I am in jail. And in through mine, I'm thinking about, you know, felonies and being in jail for 2 or 3 years, and what's Monica going to do without me there working at air gas? I'm like, all those things go through your mind at that point in time. And, heck, all the kids, especially Danielle, she was still there. Barbie was still there, too, I think. I don't know. I can't remember all that. She might have been the other way around. Anyway, praise God. And I finally had to get a hold of my mind. My mind was racing. Rebuked those thoughts in Jesus' name. And I didn't let none of it come out of my mouth. I was wanting to say it bad because all the pressure of the devil. And I forgot all about bails. You're getting bailed out. I didn't know you could. I forgot. Here I am ministering up to the jail. These guys talking about getting better. I forgot all about Monty, you know, putting down some money and getting me the heck out of that place. And thank God she did. That morning, was it Sunday morning or Saturday morning? I can't remember. She come got me out of that place, praise God. It cost some money to get me out of there. I lost that money, but I got out. Hallelujah. Then we wrote our prayer petition, what we were believing for, and our scriptures. Over about a 6-8 months process, 6-7 months process, finally got free from all that, hallelujah, and got deferred adjudication work, not on my record, and not, they won't throw me in jail. I mean, they won't give me that stuff where you have to pay money every week, a parole and stuff, or what is it? Parole, yeah, you got parole. We got to go see a parole officer. And I didn't want a community service neither. I didn't want to have to drive 3 hours over to northwest of Fort Worth to go sweep the floors of the city and stuff like that, community service. I didn't, thank God I didn't have to do that too, praise God. So I've become an overcomer. What the devil tried to take me out and my family out, you know, overcame it, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. So if he can do that for me, I know he can do it for you. All it takes is faith, become an overcomer. I was desperate too. I need some help bad. 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll like him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That's nice. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. So that, you know, when that was for both the person that was saved and unsaved. It's for both of us. If we're doing Jesus, what he's telling us to do, even though the devil throws traps for us or deception, or we make a stupid mistake like I did going out in that hall like I did, we can overcome it, praise God. It was a process to overcome, but I overcame that, and I was able to stand on that rock, praise the Lord. But if we're not in the Word of God, standing on his promise, doing what he says, I didn't bring all those scriptures I got back there of doing our daily confessions. I just thank God I was already up on those daily confessions. I thank that Jesus that I already was doing, I'm more than a conqueror, or, you know, I can do all things through Christ and everything else. That way, when a situation came, I was able to overcome it. And I was standing on that rock, hallelujah. Because this person here, he wasn't doing the Word of God. He just, the whole house fell, praise God. And that's exactly what had happened. I believe in my heart, if I wouldn't have been there doing what I was supposed to with Jesus and everything, I was just a regular old person, I'd have probably been off the jail for 2 or 3 years, because the devil don't play fair. He would have loved to see me lose my family and watch them, Monica, have to struggle, and whoever's there, Barbara Danielle, would probably had to go get a job. We all would have had to go. Here I am in jail. It would have been terrible and everything. But, you know, he don't play fair. But thank God I had the Word in me, because when that situation come, I was able to overcome it. Hallelujah. And everything. I had to keep my mouth a long time, or just not to say nothing against what I was believing for, because people were asking me about it, and it came out, and even some family from Ohio knew about it, and I had to keep believing God I'm going to get free from this, even though they found out about it. Hallelujah. That I'm not going to go to jail. Verse 28 said, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them with one having authority and not as the scribes. You notice, having authority gives you, each and every one of us have authority. Each and every one, you have authority whether you know it or not, folks, because you have decisions and choices. You have authority to do the right thing or do the wrong thing. It's your authority to either do it the right way or do it the wrong way. Each one of us have authority, praise God. It's been given to us. You know, Jesus taught with authority. They were like mesmerized when they seen people healed, delivered, set free. He seen people were fed. What, 5,000 men without including the women and children? Could have been 35,000, 40,000 people. Even when the little freak, Judas Iscariot had done, took all the money out, stole all the money bag because he was the treasurer. Even after he stole it, Jesus still pulled out a great miracle and fed them all. Praise God. When there ain't no money in the money bags, feed them all. Praise God. Feed them all. Let's do a miracle. Hallelujah. When there ain't no, you didn't have the money for the tax money that one time because Judas stole the money out of the treasurer's bag. You know, hey, go fishing. Praise God. Get the first fish. Get that gold. Now, go pay the taxes. Either way, we're more than overcomers. We're going to win one way or another if we don't give up and don't quit. Hallelujah. Don't quit. I remember when I started the Word of Faith years ago, I was doing really good, and I kind of slacked off, and I found myself, I missed sometimes. I was actually doubting sometimes. But the more than more I got in the Word of God, I guess it was more in 2010, 2011, that I started having more and more victories, praise God. When things come my way, you know, victories in finances, victories in healing and different areas of my life. Hallelujah. I had to learn how to do the Word of God. And I attribute that, like I tell the guys in jail, back to that Word of God, doing those confessions, staying up on them daily confessions. That's why I'll continue to do them. I have set myself to do them now for 15 years, confessions, almost every day, and I'll continue to do them. Because I know that's what my blessings come from. I know that's how I stay so strong, praise God, from the Word of God, doing those confessions. So every time I say it, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I just see myself so strong in Jesus. So strong in Jesus. So strong in Jesus. Or He is inside of me is greater than He is in this world. I see the power that's inside me for good and for love and to help others to be like, I mean, and to act and talk like Jesus. And that's there that I need, that's right there for me to tap into at all times. So, you know, it's encouraging to me to know it's there. That's why I do those confessions. Know that it's such a build. It builds my self-esteem, too. You know, heck, I mean, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I was made fun of and everything else, like anybody else, and called four eyes and everything else. Probably called fatso and all that other stuff. And, you know, it takes a toll on you and everything. But you know what? God, getting in, you can say God's word over you. I can get some strength for myself. I can see myself in a different picture, in a different light, praise God. And it helped so much. I mean, they tried to get me to speak in school, but, man, I was too freaked out to even do oral reports and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't do oral reports hardly. I'd freak out. But look, here I am now, praise God. I can do it in front of people and then talk. Luke 5, you know, that's God. That's God helping me, the help that I need. Luke 5. 15, 5:15. Hold on, let me see if I skipped something. Hold on 1 minute. Did I do 11:28? Let's go back to 11:28. The Lord's Matthew. Matthew 11:28. The Lord wanted me to finish that up too. 11:28. Mm-hmm. You like that one, don't you? Come to me. That's Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are laboring, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said he promised rest for us. Whatever we're going through, he promised rest, Jesus did. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's what the Lord said. You know what? I want to learn from Jesus. Experience in the world without the Word of God is the worst teacher in the world. The world's way of teaching you by experience is the worst. Man, I've been beat, kicked in the face, stomped. And everything else by the world, by learning by experience. Man, I'd rather be taught by the Word of God and learn from Jesus His way. I take my yoke upon me, Jesus said, and learn from me, and I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, your mind, will, and emotion. Don't we all need rest for our mind? Get some peace in our mind because the devil is trying to put thoughts on us. And, you know, just like the angel can sit here, I can be preaching, and all of a sudden, you don't see the angel. You're not going to see him. There's an angel right here around me right now. You don't see him. I got my angel that was assigned to me when I was saved, plus I got other angels that are working for me that I'm confessing things, bringing stuff to me. But that one angel is right here, and he once in a while, he'll speak something in my mind, and it'll live me up and everything. Well, you can also have demonic stuff speak in your mind. They can't possess you no more, but they can speak stuff in your mind to try to get you to do the wrong thing. So here I am, my soul, when I can get my mind on Jesus and his word, my soul can be at such peace and rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who wants a light burden and it's easy? Praise God. That's what I want. The world, you get entangled in the world, it'll kick you, punch you, stab you, shoot you, take you down, and do it again. And, it's a tough life. Get drunk, throw up all of yourself and everything else, and ain't no fun. I think it's a good time, but it's not that great a time. Luke 5. Once you run out of money, you're back here in them days when you're doing all the drugs and you got beer and everything, run out of money, and you're not so much the friend no more when you ain't got all the stuff to give them beer and drugs and everything else when you run out of your money. 5:15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. Talking about Jesus. And great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him of the infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened a certain day as he was teaching that there was Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. God, his power, Jesus' power there was to heal those people there. Did they receive? The Bible said, I hadn't finished, but it said those Pharisees and those religious people did not receive from him at all. They were so hard-hearted, they wouldn't believe the word, and they didn't receive from Jesus the things they needed. They were very cruel to other people too. They keep people in bondage and everything. All right, went on to say that then on verse 18, then behold, men brought out a man who was paralyzed, whom they besought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because the crowd, they went up on the housetop, let him down through his bed, through the tiling amidst before Jesus. Man, they couldn't even get in this place. This place was packed full of people, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus had a good conference going on that day, hallelujah. He wanted to heal some people, and they had to break through his tiling. I believe that was Jesus' house. That's why no one got offended by it, and that's why the healing and the manifest and everything else, because Jesus didn't get offended by it and stuff, because he didn't care if they tore up his roof. And here they let this guy down in there, and it went on to say, verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. First thing is sin was forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house and glorifying God. And all were amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Yeah, praise God. The power of God was there. They were overcomers. They were more than conquerors. They knew where the source was. They probably been telling their buddy that was on that mat and about the good things about Jesus, because he couldn't get around. He was paralyzed. You know, he probably might have heard him something here and there as he walked through. But these four friends was telling him, building up his faith, telling the word of God to him about Jesus healing other people. And they said, okay, let's go. And on their faith, on his four buddies' faith, took him. And there was enough faith to get him to have faith. And he got healed. Hallelujah. How about Paul and Silas in jail? I guess it's just talk about jail nights, what it is. You started off in here. It's all through my message, too. They were actually doing a good deed. They were helping that one young lady and trying to set her free. And it was the city town people and that were mean and angry about it. And some of the businessmen were getting wealth off of this young lady, is what they were doing. They got mad, had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. They were probably abusing that young lady all different ways, that young girl and everything, and the way they were using her. And they had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. But you know what? Paul and Silas might have been in jail physically, but their spirit and their attitude of gratitude was in heaven, praise God. They were more than conquerors. They were overcomers. They were praising God in the midst of turmoil, and they were locked in the stocks. They said the stocks on the inner court of the jail, their feet are locked in, the hands are locked up here, stretches you, it's very uncomfortable. And they were locked in there, and they were praising God, giving glory to God, and all of a sudden, the glory of God hit that place. It doesn't say that the glory of God brings light with it, but I believe it does. The reason I believe it did is because the jailer was about to kill himself because he thought they escaped. And the only way the jailer, the head jailer, the main man in charge of all the other jailers, would know that they might have escaped is the doors were open. Only way. So I believe the glory of God hit that place because their good attitude and praise in Jesus. And he actually was fixing to kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. And he came on in. He could see him and everything. He came on in. And he actually let him loose and washed their stripes where they beat on him and everything else. And said, sir, how must I be saved? So him and his whole household got saved and baptized that next morning. Hallelujah. And guess what? Even through it all and all, even those mean people that had him thrown in jail for being nice to that young lady, and the townspeople that were friends with him wanted to finally get him out of there. Well, just go tell them people that you can get on out of town. And they had no Paul. He's bold. He goes, no, you tell them to come down here, and you tell them to get us out of town. He rose up in boldness. After having that happen to him a few times, he'd become a overcomer mentality and more than a conquer mentality. Hallelujah. That's just who he was. Let's look over at Haggai chapter 2. So joy, praise in God will overcome the devil. Even through when times are tough and it doesn't look good around you. Haggai. Man, I did not write down where that's at. If someone finds it before me, if they would tell me. Before Zechariah. Is that after Daniel? Okay. After Habakkuk. There he is. Whew, I made it. Chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. Huh? Oh, wow. I'm out of time. Man, where does the time go? I just been a little ways, praise God. Well, praise God. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Hope it encouraged you. Oh, you want me to do it now? Well, let me have my phone. I didn't close my book. Let's see. 8:9. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord, heaven's army. The future of glory of his temple will be greater than the past. And Lord's heaven's army. In this place I'll bring peace. Lord's heaven's army has spoken. The first temple was the temple that was built by hands, by human hands, where David and Solomon were. But now, that modern temple is not this building. We meet here to go out to be his disciples, we learn here to be his ambassadors. But the temple's in you, and me, and us four. The temple of the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The greater temple was talking about us because we house the Holy Spirit inside of us. And now we are there to be a blessing to everybody and to overcome any obstacle the devil throws over us because he is in us greater than he is in this world. Praise God. All right. Women go, women. Men can go with me.